Well, thank you, Harry and worship team. So I just want to let you know where we left off as of last week. We were working on a series in Vision last week, and I just want to let you know where we left off. I left you last week with a challenge, a simple challenge, maybe for some, maybe a challenging challenge for others, I don't know. But the challenge was this, that you would find two or three people in the church, even one person, that's fine, and you would exchange names of people in your life, whether it's a family or a friend, who you would love to see come to faith in Christ, and then you would commit to praying for them on a weekly basis, very open-ended, praying on a daily basis, but fasting in some way on a weekly basis. I should also clarify that some people don't have the kind of health that is good for fasting from food, but you can fast from something else, whether it's video games or movies or media or something else. It's just something that can direct your attention to God and put this person in your heart that you would love to see come to faith in Christ before God. I want to let you know, just as a reminder and an encouragement, that I've already found a buddy. Sean Colick and I have already exchanged some names of people who we would love to see come to faith in Christ, and we are going to fast and pray on our own in the month of February for these guys to come to faith in Christ. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I do know that when God's people take prayer and fasting seriously, that God does some cool stuff. So looking forward to see what God's going to do through that. And just a reminder to challenge you in that way. We're going to start a new series today. It's entitled Secret Sins with Serious Consequences. Serious Sins with Serious Consequences. So here's the story here. So secret sins with serious consequences. We're going to look at a few different stories of how people sinned in secret. They tried to hide their sin from God or from others or from both, and it resulted in serious consequences. And my hope in this series is that we're going to be reminded of the holiness of God, but we're also going to be challenged to consider the secret sins in our life. Now, today's message is entitled Caught in a Lie, and we're going to look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira. But before we get there, I just want to remind you just a little bit about the book of Acts, just some context here. The book of Acts, for me, is almost like a Bourne supremacy movie. There's like tons of action. People are getting healed. People are getting saved. It's actually more exciting than Bourne supremacy, minus the explosions. Anyways, people are getting saved, healings are happening, miracles are taking place, Christians are sharing the gospel boldly, they're serving sacrificially, they're giving sacrificially. God's blessing the Christian community, and people are going ballistic. It's exciting. And then the Acts chapter 4, nearing the end of Acts chapter 4, we see that Christians are so excited with what's happening. The church is growing so much that everyone just says, let's just share everything. And on a voluntary basis, people are just sharing all their possessions. Some people are even selling their property, their houses, whatever they have. They're laying it at the apostles' feet, and it's being shared amongst the whole church, which is absolutely an exciting time in the life of the church. The story continues at the very end of Acts chapter 4. The Bible highlights one person who did that. His name was Joseph. And he sells his property. We don't know whether it was a house or land or both or whatever, but he sells his property. He lays it at the apostles' feet, and it's distributed amongst the Christian community, the church. And the Bible says that no one was without need. Now, this particular example was probably highlighted in the Bible because I imagine it would have been a very generous amount that was given, a very notable gift that was given, and so the Bible highlights it. Now, when that happens, all of a sudden we have to hit the pause button. Because all of us, all of a sudden, in the midst of God's blessing, in the midst of God's growth, something bad just goes wrong. Something goes south. Ananias and Sapphira, we assume, would have seen this, would have known Joseph, would have seen Joseph give this gift. And Joseph likely would have received a lot of praise from people. Hey, that Joseph guy's a pretty generous guy. Yeah, he's pretty nice. He's pretty awesome to do that thing. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they think to themselves, hey, we want the same recognition. And that was the first step in the wrong direction, desiring the praise of people more than a desire to please God first. And so they got together, Ananias and Sapphira, and they decided to do something bad, mixed within something that appeared good. And so what they decided was that, hey, we're going to sell a piece of property as well. And we're going to go and we're going to stand in front of, we're going to bring it to the apostles' feet, and they're going to distribute it amongst the church like everyone else is doing. But we're going to tell them that 100% of what we received is going to the church, but we're going to keep back a little bit for ourselves. And they thought, hey, this is a pretty good thing. The church could probably use it. People could probably benefit from it. But we're just going to tell a little white lie. And so their sin was that they desired the praise of people greater than the desire just to simply please God. And number two, they wanted that so bad that they were willing to lie for it. Now, I just want to pause for a second as well. I was just very curious as to how much this gift would have been in today's Abbotsford 2014 dollars. And so I need an assistant to come up here. Riley, if you would come up, and I'd like to ask you a few questions here. And as he's coming up, I just want to give you some context here. I know in the city of Abbotsford, you can buy condos in the maybe high 100s. Townhouses and detached homes could be in the 200s, 300s to a million plus in this neighborhood. Commercial farmland could be in the millions. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of wealth here. So in today's dollars, if someone, in today's Abbotsford 2014 dollars, if someone sold a property, I'm guessing on a conservative estimate, it may have been around $250,000 that Ananias and Sapphira would have given to the church. I could be way off. It could be way more. It could be a little less. But that's probably in that ballpark what I'm guessing it would have been. So, Riley, I need to ask you some very complicated questions. Are you ready for this?
Well, we'll see.
Riley, is $250,000 a lot of money?
Yes.
What would you think of me, Riley, if I gave you $250,000?
I would want to, like, marry you.
Oh, I'm taken, Riley. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Riley, what would you do with $250,000?
Buy a lot of video games.
Buy a lot of video games. Yeah, I'd probably buy an Xbox. That'd probably be one thing I'd do. I don't have one. Riley, what would you think if, I don't know, let's say Norlin, he says, hey guys, he stands up right now and says, hey guys, God just put it on my heart to give the church $250,000. What would you think of Norlin if he did that?
The exact same thing. I would want to marry him.
Yeah, we'd probably throw a party. We'd probably go to Wings again and eat some wings and just have a great time and just thank God for the blessing of those funds. Thanks, Riley. Let's give Riley a hand. Yeah, we would think that person is awesome. Like, that's good stuff. Okay, so that's the background. We're going to get to the story now. Acts chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11, I believe the translation I have is the same translation you have in your pews. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. So verse 3 is the response from Peter. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? So just pause for a second here. We see, I get the sense that Peter knows immediately what is going on. And the Holy Spirit, it seems, has revealed to Peter the Ananias' sin, and he calls him out for it. And then he continues on in verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And so we're reminded here, just in case anyone's wondering, Ananias and Sapphira were not obligated to give anything to the church. Even they didn't have to sell their property, and even if they did, they didn't have to give even 1% of it. It was all voluntary. And he says here that you have not lied just to human beings, but to God. So there's no detective work. Peter just figures it out right away, which is absolutely incredible. The result is this in verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Great fear seized all who heard what had happened. That phrase, and great fear seized all who had heard, that comes up again in this passage. And we'll get to that in a second. Verse 6, then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7, about 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? And so it seems like Peter here is giving her a second chance to make things right. And she responds by saying, yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Wow. And so some people wonder, you know, was this a heart attack? Were they psychologically so scared of being caught in their sin that they died out of some heart condition or something? Well, I get the sense that the original language that was used here was used to describe death from divine judgment. And so it's very likely that Ananias and Sapphira were basically killed by God. Verse 10 goes on to say this, then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And there's that phrase again, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. So again, the secret sin was this, that they wanted the praise of people more than pleasing God. And number two, they desired that so much that they were willing to lie for it. And a serious consequence was that Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, both died as a result. Crazy stuff. And I kind of wonder if God had not acted so swiftly with Ananias and Sapphira, if it would have hindered the spread of the gospel in the book of Acts, as it did in the story of Achan in the Old Testament, which we will get to in the following weeks. I just want to share with you five observations and applications when we consider this passage of Ananias and Sapphira. And number one is that our secret sins are no secret to God. Our secret sins are no secret to God. You know, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say, there's nothing in our lives that's hidden from God. And so if we're struggling with something, it's wise for us to just simply confess it and deal with it before God. Number two, our secret sins affect others. Now the Bible says that Ananias and Sapphira were in on this as a couple, as a pair, but one of them had to initiate this conversation. If we make the assumption that it was Ananias, initiation for them to sin caused not only his death, but the death of his spouse as well. This particular point is going to become more alive as we continue on through our series. We're going to see how this person's sin affected all sorts of other people. In fact, we live in a very individualistic culture, and many of us don't understand this, that we think that what I do doesn't affect you, and what you do doesn't affect me, and we're going to find that is not the case. Number three, God is holy, he's still holy, and he's still serious about sin. God is still holy, and he's still serious about sin. You know, a lot of people think that God did a personality change when he went from the Old Testament to the New. But the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a lot of people think that they can be acceptable before God if they are generally more of a good person than they are bad. But if you look at this example of Ananias and Sapphira from a human perspective, most of us would probably think that their generous gift was more good than the little white lie that they told. But we see where that ended up. And so we're reminded that God is holy and we need to take him seriously. I also want to say that, I think we are living in a culture where I think the pendulum has swung, and I think we're a little too lax in our respect for God. I think sometimes we skip out of church sometimes and for no good reason on a continual basis, and we kind of think, who cares? Gotta get over it. Or maybe we put extracurricular activities or optional work, in priority over maybe Sunday morning attendance. I think sometimes we will give God our leftovers. We'll allow someone else to contribute to the work of God and say, we'll get to it when we get to it. God'll get over it. It's okay. God deserves my second best. Oh, it's okay if I sin in secret. He'll forgive me. He'll forgive me and he'll get over it. It's okay. And I'm here to tell you today that that's not okay. God deserves first priority in our life. He deserves our respect. He deserves our best. He deserves our best. Observation number four. God brings serious discipline right in the middle of incredible blessing and growth. This is an interesting one. We are thrilled that we have some new members joining our church today. That's exciting. But we always need to be on guard. We should never be in a place, if we are experiencing God's blessing, which I think we are, that we're never above being held accountable. Where we always need to take a step back and look at the quality of our hearts, because God is equally concerned about the quality of our hearts as he is with anything else. And that's just something to remember, that God brings serious discipline right in the middle of incredible blessing and growth. And lastly, point number five, we need to deal with the secret sins in our life. We need to deal with the secret sins in our life. And I want to just expand this point as I transition into communion here. I want to read a passage to you from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 and following, when we talk about confessing and dealing with the secret sins in our life. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 and following. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, you would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. There's a few things this passage is dealing with, but a couple things I do want to say is that when we consider communion, as we're about to take communion, that number one, communion is for those who have given their lives to Jesus, those who are Christians, those who have received God's forgiveness and have chosen to follow him with all their lives. And so if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have not received his forgiveness, if you have not chosen to follow him with all your heart, I would just ask that you not take communion today. And if you have done that, I just would ask that you take it with confidence. The second thing is this. This passage asks us to examine ourselves. And it's very important as we, even in the context of this message here, that I'm sure there are many of us here who are struggling with secret sins in our life. Maybe some things we're embarrassed about, things we're not proud of, and we need to confess those sins to God. And so I want to take a moment here. We're not going to have any music. I would just encourage you, if you have to get up, that you just wouldn't get up at this moment. Let's just take a moment and ask God to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, some sins that we may have to confess to the Lord. Just make things right with God right now. So let's take a moment and do that. Well, God, I thank you for today, and I trust that you've been speaking to our hearts. Lord, I just want to first of all just acknowledge that we're all sinners here, Lord, including myself. But I'm also excited, Lord, to just declare, Lord, that you have died on the cross for our sins, and if we confess whatever it is that's going on in our hearts to you, that you are quick to forgive us. And we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take this message today as one where maybe we shouldn't be taking communion, but one where we can be excited to take communion because you have forgiven us, and we can come to you, and we can confess things to you. So we just pray, Lord, that you would bless our communion time right now as we partake in the Lord's Supper and remember the great sacrifice that you made for us. We just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.